Amen. This is one of those Sundays where you ask long, hard questions as a preacher and are selecting texts, especially the one that is not your primary sermon text. For in the Gospel of Mark, we have a very important story indeed, and a very grisly story, and one that leads to all sorts of questions because of ambiguities of pronouns and references that seem to be dangling, and there is John the Baptist. And so I almost did not include it, because I don't like subjecting people to beheadings without context. But in this case, I wanted to focus on the fact that John's head was served up at a banquet. That here is this plate full of food that no one can eat, that is the harvest of bitterness and the harvest of resentment. And no one can eat it, and they can only look on in horror, because it is such a great contrast to the story that we have in 2 Samuel. In this story, we have Samuel in his final triumph. This is a joyful procession. Imagine, if you will, the Women's World Cup Championship Parade or the Super Bowl parade in Boston, with screaming people and floats and dancing and candy being tossed out, even maybe the Summerfest parade, full of joy in between the rain. This is the procession that David is bringing into Jerusalem. And of course, it is the greatest procession, because being able to move his capital to Jerusalem means that they have found some security from the endless wars that led them to desire a king at all. So in this relative peace, David brings the Ark of the Covenant, the footstool of God, into Jerusalem and says to everyone, this is a new country, this is a new world for us, where God gets to have a home in this place in Jerusalem. And we get to build something new and start something new, just like we talked about last week. So we have this celebration, and we look and we see what it looked like back then. It was not just a procession. It was not just dancing, though it was a procession, and there was dancing. What did David do every six steps? Sacrificed an ox. Think of all the food that he brought up there. It was a giant banquet. It was a showing of the abundance of God's love and God's glory and God's sustenance. David created a feast and said, this is what celebration looks like. It looks like all of the people who have been with me, all of the people who have been here, get food today. Because God is great, and because we have found peace in this time, and because we have found the security to bring God into this place, everyone gets fed. And on top of all the food from the sacrifices, for this is what happens to sacrificed food in the Old Testament. I'm not sure exactly what all the details are in the latest archaeology is, but the general sense is that the people who are in charge of the food got all this food, ate some for themselves, and distributed it to all of the people. On top of that, David gave them cakes. A loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. People got the entire meal because of this celebration that they were having. And it's a lesson. Because whenever we see celebrations of God, whenever we see happiness at God's presence among us, whenever we are called to bless one another in God's name, there is food. And we remember that the covenant is simple. Love God and love neighbor. And so food is distributed because the most basic showing of love is providing sustenance to one another. What is interesting to me in this story is that there is no record of how the people reacted. There's no record of thanks. There is no record of celebration from them. This is all about David's relationship to God and what David does in response to God, and that is to officiate as a priest, which is something kings do, and to distribute food. And I think there is a lesson in that. It is a memory that I have from seminary days, from Divinity School days, when I was serving at Second Church in Beverly. We, on every month of the fifth Sunday, the Beverly youth group went to serve meals at a soup kitchen in Beverly. And one of the practices that grew up around that was the then family minister, Angie Menke Ballou, used to ask people, what did you see there? Where did you find God? And what was the part that lifted you up there today? And one teenager said on the Sunday that I went with them, and for some reason this has always stuck with me, the thing that I liked the best was how grateful everyone was. And it was a thing that stuck with me then and sticks with me now, because it's so natural and so human. You know, we're all, well, I at least was brought up, and I'm sure a number of you were too, to be thankful and to give thanks to someone who has done us a kindness. And one of the reasons we are here in church is to give thanks to God for all the kindnesses that have been brought to us over the years through God's hand. And so such a breach of social etiquette as not to thank someone who is giving you something sticks with us, sticks with me. Says, oh, shouldn't you thank someone for that? I mean, aren't you polite? How did your families raise you? But it stuck with me because of passages like this one and passages in the New Testament too, reminding us that we give because God calls us to build God's kingdom. We give because it brings us joy to give. We give because we have already received payment in the gifts of God to us. And so when we look for gratitude, we are missing something. And it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to be part of society and to be part of a polite world, and it's pleasant. But I sometimes think about the mix between what we sometimes call the deserving poor and the undeserving poor. And that's an idea that some people deserve charity and some people do not. And that's not a thing that I believe. And it's a thing I don't believe because of passages like this one, which did not say that those who cheered on David got food. It does not say people who had fought with the army got food. It did not say people who were working hard got food. It said the whole crowd, male and female, food among all the people of Israel. Then all the people went back to their homes. And it's a reminder that we get these gifts from God without any conditions, and that we can find joy in distributing them without conditions too. We don't know who will receive this food, but we know that they are loved children of God, and the way to show it is for us to share what we have with them. And when we have this passage in Mark, this alternate passage, this alternate table that is before us, it reminds me of the importance sometimes of stepping back and saying, thank you, God, for what you have given us. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you for all of these things we did nothing to deserve. Because here we have Herod's court, and someone who takes this resentment against John, that John should judge her, and takes it, until the point where she makes a grotesque request. Not only should you kill John, this person that you respect and this person that you've apparently sworn to protect, not only should you kill him, but you should do it by beheading him and bringing to the table the platter with his head on it. This is what becomes of us when we notice the social slights that we feel and we harbor them within us. This is what becomes of us when we pay attention not to the glory and bounty of God, but to the reactions of people around us, because it is natural and it is human to do so. It is natural to look at a slight and to nurse it and to remember it and to never forget it. But this story tells us that it can turn us into ugliness. It can turn our grace into disgrace. And it can turn our love of God into something awful. Which is why on this Sunday in this July, I love that we have a cart here. I love that we have a cart of food that we are not going to distribute ourselves. We're going to trust that DMARC can distribute it to all who come and who are able to be at the food pantry. It shows us the ability to just give, to give blindly, to give it away, and let it be gone and feel the joy of God that we have given something without condition, that we have given something without worrying what the reaction is going to be, that we have given something of ourselves to others, trusting in God that it will go to those that God loves and that need it the most. Because this trust in God, that God will sort it all out, God will deal with deserves, and we do not have to, is the ultimate freedom that we get in Jesus Christ. This freedom to not worry about deserves, to not be the ultimate judge of who gets what and who deserves what, that God can sort it out at some point. And aren't we glad that we can have that trust in God and that our calling is merely to give as we feel blessed to give as we feel called to give, to recognize the blessings in our own lives that we did not deserve. All those good things, along with, I'm sure, a number of bad things we did not deserve either. But this is the freedom that comes from Jesus being Lord, from Jesus being judge, from God being judge, is that we can let go. We do not have to be Herodias, nursing the bitter resentment all the day long. We can look to those who are on the boundaries, those who do not get fed every day, and say, we can do what we can to help you, and we will let God decide who deserves what. For me, this is the greatest joy in being a Christian. For me, it is that sense of calling, that sense of release that says, I can recognize my own power to help someone else, and can let go of my power to punish someone else. And this is the great joy. This is the great joy that shows us that the story does not begin in a slight. The story does not begin with being on the margins. The story begins in God's creation, in the abundance of Eden. The story does not end in the Exodus, does not end in a slight, does not end in the hunger. The story ends at the ark of creation when God's kingdom has been there, has been called into being. But the story always goes through hunger, and the story always goes through suffering. And the best we can do is to help ease it as we see fit, as David did by sacrificing in celebration. And so in this month, as we have the cart up here in front of the altar, I ask you, bring what you can bring. Let us make it overflow, and let us bring it to empty food pantry shelves, that we may go to those who need it, and go to the children of God that maybe do not feel God's love every week. For we can celebrate, we are here. We have to give. We have to love, and we have to share. Thanks be to God. Amen.